The Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. Great passage of Scripture that it may not appear to be a passage of Scripture because it comes in such a different form. Anybody remember an old commercial that was on about, you see the lady walking through a parking lot and the man's behind her, obviously it's the husband, and he's carrying all these packages. You remember this thing? And she's walking along and she's just talking on the phone like this, and she's just going like this, and she's clicking. I'm not talking about any of you. I've seen you all do this. She's just clicking her thing, and she can't find a car. Then she goes over to what she thinks is her car, and she's putting a key in it because, well, the clicker must not break. Well, she's breaking into a car that looks like hers. It's not her car. But he gets blamed for it. He's going to take the blame for it right there. We work in a lot of places. One of the difficult places to work at, if you're in construction, like Richard and I are in construction, you go to these places and they all look the same. I've actually knocked on the wrong door before, thinking it was the right door, but it was the wrong door. And nobody comes. Nobody's coming. So I'm fumbling around with the key that I was given, and I'm trying to unlock this door. About that time, a guy opens the door, just got out of the shower, got a towel wrapped around him, and that's it. What are you doing? I'm sorry, I must have the wrong house. It's funny if it didn't happen to you. It wasn't so funny to that guy, but anyway. If you'd have gone to the upper room on Friday, what we call Good Friday, what would you have found? You'd have found a room, a house, totally shut up. Every window would have been barred. Every door sealed so nobody could get in. Why? Because the Word of God says, for fear of the Jews. And what was inside there? There was 11 men that were hunkered down in that, despairing with humiliation, and they were trembling. They were afraid of what was going to happen. For them, their lives were finished. Absolutely finished, because the rulers had seen them with Jesus. And they thought everything was done. They killed him. What are they going to do to me? How are they going to take care of me? Their world was crushed. And it wasn't just about the Jews. It was crushed because their belief. They believed in what Jesus. He was their hope. He was everything that they needed. He was the Messiah. He would be the Redeemer of Israel. He was all these things. Because why? He promised so much. And his words, they were so comforting. Every time that he spoke, he was like, and look what he did. Look at the healing. Look at the deeds he did. They were so gracious. All the things, the way he treated. And we believed him. We believed in him. And now he's dead. And it struck them right there. They've been deluded. They absolutely looked upon it, and they were frightened. I mean, these were men. They weren't a bunch of wimps. They were real men. But the real danger was coming to play right now. They killed Jesus. I guess we're next. You ever had a death threat? I've had some people look at me like they wanted to kill me. No one's bothered to come that far, but they looked at me. That was last week. 1 week later, it's a Friday. You go to the same house. This time you got the right key, okay? There won't be anybody in a bath towel. No, they won't meet you. The doors are open. The windows are open. What are you hearing? You're hearing singing. They're singing the Psalms. They're joyful. Everything about life has changed. They're all excited about what has taken place right there. Well, what has taken place? Well, listen to them for a moment. You can almost hear them making plans. We're going to go out and preach the gospel again, and we're going to focus on the resurrection. 1 week. It's all transpired in 1 week. Yes, Jesus was crucified, but he's risen. He's no longer in a tomb. He's not nailed to a cross. He's not any of those things. You know, I got to thinking about it. We must have come to the wrong house. Where are those 11 guys that were hunkered down that was all scared about everything? you're at the right house. Something's happened. Something happened that is so monumental that it's changed the entire world. You know what it was? They're on this side of Easter, not that side of Easter. How many of us live our lives on that side of Easter and not on this side of Easter? How many of us look at all the negatives that come out and we woe and we cry and we do all that stuff? Because we don't recognize the fact that Jesus is risen. How many have gone through sad times? Maybe a loss of a loved one or whatever. And it's kind of an unquenchable part about life. And it's sadness and it brings sorrow upon it. Well, if you got a problem, and many people have problems, and they can't get the answer, are you going to give up? Are you going to give away to that particular problem as if it could never, ever be solved? Or how about our world situation? And if you watch any of the news today, you know our world's in a mess. America's in a mess. I said, are we going to give up because the world's the way that it is? Is this something that we're going to do? Well, if it is, then you're on the wrong side of Easter. You're on the wrong side of the one that can make every world situation change. Just by speaking it into existence. By saying what he wants to say. Oh, I've had to listen to God is dead. Yeah. Guy wrote a whole theology on that thing. J.J. Altizer. Don't read it. It's worthless. I can tell you, I've read it. God's indifferent. God's calloused. Is he? Is he any of those things right there? If you say that he is, then you're just living on the wrong side of Easter. Because I can tell you right now, this is the Sunday after Easter. And it's a great Sunday. It's an exciting Sunday. It's everything that the church needs today. It is who God is. He's risen. He's come back. This is what really took place. These 11 men were no longer going to worry about it. They had their risen Christ. You say, well, that was just a long time ago. Isn't that something? I've heard that one too. Well, I don't know if those accounts are true. You know, they vary. I think that's what makes all their accounts true. Because they're not some rote memory thing that they all got their stories together and they made it. They went out to preach the resurrection. What person in their right mind would preach about a hoax and put their lives on the line? They're preaching about the resurrection. Their life could be ended too. Do you think they're going to go out and say that unless they believed exactly what took place and Jesus did not rise? He rose from the dead. So what does that make? What is the significance of the resurrection? I wrote down a couple things for you today. The resurrection shines a light on our personal survival. I want you to think about that for a minute. Our personal survival. You say, well, I don't know if I can see it that way. Well, I can tell you this is what it is. The Christ resurrection, it doesn't prove the survival of humanity. It proves the survival of you individually because he's alive in your heart. Look around you. There's tons of people that he's not alive in their heart. So it's not about their survival. We sang the song, Christ arose. Made like him we rise. Remember that part? I love that part. That's one of the greatest sentences right there. We will survive what comes our way. All the things that has come this way, death has no more bonds on us. Death is not going to be one of those things that are going to happen. Look, what did Jesus say to the thief? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's his promise. And it was a promise that he kept. And a promise that is true. In Mark's Gospel, in the 16th chapter, at the 12th verse, it's an unusual statement. This is the story about the two walking, disciples walking to Emmaus. It just happens to come out of Mark's Gospel this time, not out of Matthew. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, and he walked. What form is Jesus appearing to you today? The Holy Spirit. He's alive. He appears in the person of the Holy Spirit in every one of our lives. How do I know that? Well, because I remember he said, I go to prepare. You go to John chapter 14. You can read it. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And he came back. He came back in the very person of the Holy Spirit. What greater evidence do we possibly need? The very uniqueness of the statements that were made is who Jesus is. And so the resurrection shines a light on my, on your personal survival. This is what God has promised. This is what he does. Can I tell you this? One day I'm going to check out. According to Matt, we're going all tomorrow. Lights are going to go out and we're all leaving. We're out of Dodge or Robinson or wherever you want to stay you're from. But if not, and God calls you someplace else at some other time, can I tell you this? I know it's going to be harder for you to imagine. This world's going to go on. You're not going to be here. But I promise you this, the world's going to continue to be on, keep going. We've had to say goodbye to a lot of people that we really love. But we're still here. We're still going to. One day when the Trump's, God will come back and get his own. But I have not chosen, and it will not choose, long after I'm gone, long after I've left the building, God said, I'm still going to be there. Cornerstone's still going to exist, and somebody else is going to take my place. And that's okay. It's great. I mean, I'm excited about it. But I know this, the resurrection proves to me that my life is only here for a short time, and I've got eternity to spend with him. And he shines that light. And not only that, does he shine a light on that, I think he also shines a light on all the evil that we have in our world today. And we've got plenty of that. You can't listen to the news. In fact, I don't encourage you to listen to the news, but if you do listen to the news at any time, you're going to realize that we got a lot of evil in our world today. Right now, they're calling all the junk that's going on in the Middle East with Israel right now. What are they saying? Israel, you need to stop doing it. You just forget about the fact that you were attacked, unprovoked, and they took all these hostages, killed all these people. Don't worry about that. Let it go. Really? Just like we let 9/11 go? But that's what we're telling them. Let it go. Too many casualties. How many died in 9/11? How many casualties do we have that had nothing to do with anything? But they died anyway. They died in our country. You say, why do you want to preach on that? I'm not wanting to preach on that. I just want to tell you that I know this, that the resurrection shines a light upon the evil that's being done in our world today. What did the early church offer? If you read in the book of Acts, the early church, their message, it wasn't about what Jesus taught, as great as those teachings are. I mean, no one would like to get past the Beatitudes that we talked about this morning because they're so fantastic. But the early church's message was about Jesus Christ risen. They preached on the resurrection. They preached that Jesus was alive. They focused everything about on who he is now. Oh, yes. The evil men of their day, they crucified him. They did all of those things. And they preached about it. You have crucified the Lord of glory. But God hath raised him from the dead. That was their message. And it's always going to be their message. God's not defeated over the evil that's going on in our world today. God's not going to be defeated over the evil that goes on in our very town today. Because God is greater than all of those things. So they can be ugly about it with their jealousy. They can be ugly with their hatred. They can be ugly with any part of the cruelty that man can bring. And they can bring a lot of cruelty. But I can tell you this, evil doesn't have the last word. Jesus does. Isn't that great? It is what he said he would do. Evil will not have the last word. Well, you don't know what's happened in my life. No, I don't. I don't. But I do know this. Evil's not going to have the last say. Vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Amen. He said, well, he needs to do it in my time. No, he doesn't. He needs to do it when he sees it. If we spend all of our time looking at the world situation. The world is full of evil. Look at the burden and the misery and all of those things. I'm living on this side of Easter. I'm not living on the great side of Easter. Because what Jesus has done will overcome anything. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in this whole world. Amen. Satan may look strong. He may have all of those things. The early church was proof of that. Look at the suffering that they went through in persecution. Look at all the things that took place. Look at the threats. It lasted for centuries. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Not only Jews, but you listen to what... Somebody look at me like, I don't know if I believe all that stuff, Brother Jim. Let me take you what Paul has to say about it. In Philippians chapter 2, he begins at verse number 1. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. Oh, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a great light. In fact, in our lives, it might be a little bit of blinding light. It may be the kind of light that shines so brightly. But Paul said, I'm not done yet. That was just my intro to the message that I wanted to give you. In verse number 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see what Jesus did for us? You see what the resurrection of Christ means? Even in the form of all the evil that goes on in our lives today, everything that we look at today and how terrible it might be, all the things that took place in that, God said, I got a light, and I want to shine it in your heart today. This is the Sunday after Easter. This is the day we live in today. This is what I have. Paul couldn't have said that before Easter, but he certainly can say it after Easter. And he said it all of his life, and he preached every bit of it to everybody. So he shines the light on a world situation, a world of evil. But more important to us today, or at least it is to me, God shines his resurrection life on the evil that's impacting your life physically, emotionally, mentally today. Personally, he hasn't turned his back. He's looking right at the very things. You know, I don't know too many people that will ever escape heartache. I just don't know that. I don't know them. The loss of a loved one, the tragedy that goes on and on through lives all the time. We just don't get to escape that. Suffering is all around us. And if we don't have person, we should be sharing in somebody else's suffering. We should be sharing our lives with them and their disasters and all the things that took place. Before Easter, what was said about, what did the Jews always say? They're being punished for their sins. You know what it said? I mean, I'm giving you the word of God, people. This is what has been said over and over. God's punishment is on those evildoers. Well, I guess he'd really whip up on me then. I mean, that's for sure. I deserved everything and more than what he could give to me. And what was the question I hear? I hear from not everybody, but some people. What have I done to deserve this? You ever asked that? You ever even mentioned it? What have I done to deserve that? You know, that's a mentality, people. It's a mentality that is still very prevalent in the church. What have I done to deserve? Can I say this? You haven't done anything except become a member of the human race. That's what's happened right there. But you can't live on the wrong side of Easter. You got to live on the right side of Easter. You know, Old Testament religion, I mean, if you go back in the Psalms and the 91st Psalm, which I think is a fantastic Psalm, it made this statement, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That was fantastic. A great statement. But that was before Easter, too. After Easter, after what he gave us, Christ says, I'm not offering them immunity. I'm not giving you to say that you can't find cancer. I'm not doing any of those things. We sometimes face some great problems, and you're not immune to them. I'm not immune to them. It's hit our family. Terrible things, things that we all cry over, things that bother us completely. But there are things, he said, I'm not doing that. The implication is that we will face it. Why? Because God might get the glory. How do you handle it? How do you show the world that Jesus rose from a grave and that he is legitimate and he makes a difference in your life? You do it by walking through these very difficult times and you go rejoicing anyway. Jesus would give us that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. And the brother shall, what? Deliver up the other brother. The father is going to be against the child. The children are going to be disrespectful, and they're going to turn their own parents in. Oh, do we not see that today? And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's what he said. But. You know, I like those words, you know, but. If all the conditional things, he says, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's Easter. That's the promise that God gives us. It's a promise that he has provided for us. Yes, cancer, yeah. Arthritis, right, Richard? We're talking about arthritis today in our hands and stuff like that. How about a threat of an attack? We have it every day thinking about what might happen in America again, like 9/11. There's always that threat of attack. What does Jesus say about, oh, never go like, no. He says, yes, those things are coming. Yes, those things will take place. There is no immunity to any one of those things. I will allow that to take place that my Father might get the glory to see you walk through it. What did he promise me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He promises me that he will always comfort me in times of distress. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why? Because you're going to be right there. You'll make a table in the presence of my own enemies. And my cup, the cup of life, the very things, it's just going to run over if I'm on the right side of Easter. And I find the blessings that he has. Press on. Easter is our faith. Easter is what he has given to us. One of the great pastors of years and years ago, and I'm sorry, he was a Methodist. Pretty liberal. But I'm going to quote him anyway this morning. If God could weave a tragedy like the brutal murder of Christ, crucifixion, into a plan called the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the cross, once a symbol of shame, like a hangman's noose, is now the symbol of triumph. He can take your cross and make that triumph also. We must learn this lesson, for if we live after Easter, we will rejoice in what he provided on Easter. It's what God does. That's our hope today, people. This is what God has given us. He's given us everything. He bolsters us every day in our personal lives. He makes the difference. We just need to learn the lesson. We had a bunch of people here last Sunday. It was great, wasn't it? Got to see people I hadn't seen in a long time. It was fantastic. Easter's always a big year. You know, it's a CEO deal. Christmas, Easter, and the other. Never mind. But it was exciting. But this is the Sunday after Easter. Is he still as exciting as he was on Easter? Is he still the same God that he was back here? Yeah, he is, and he's resurrection, and he's given us all those things. I love Paul. He writes in Corinthians. I didn't say Hebrews. I said Corinthians. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. And he loves you. And he's preparing all of these things for you. And he's preparing it for those that don't like him right now. You ever thought about that? He's preparing those very things for those that today say, I hate him. We were once like that. But all that time, he was still preparing for us. We were once saying, no way, I'm ever going to get to there. But he still prepared for us. And he's preparing for those that right now that we could say, do us all a favor, get lost. But he's preparing for them because they can't see what the future holds, but his spirit does. And he will bring them and pull them to him. My people, that's living after Easter. That's what it's all about. This is a very important truth. You say, well, I got big issues. Do you realize that the biggest calamities that you might have or how intense they might be in your life is because God is saying as he's looking upon you that I have given you enough grace to handle that? Do you ever recognize your issues like that? Some of us walk through deep waters at times. Why? Because we can walk through deep waters. Some of you sit in a baby pool because that's all you can do. It doesn't mean that God said, I can't make you better. He says, I can make you better. You just got to live after Easter. You need to recognize what I'm going to do. There are times when I see the cross, I see my crucified Lord on that cross. I just do. I look at the suffering that he went through. I look at the beatings that he took. I look at the crucifixion, the tormented body, all those things. And if I really sat on that thing, I want to go, man, that's terrible. There's no way we can come back from this. But he did. And greater things shall you do than I've done, because I go to the Father. I've sent my spirit. He's going to inhabit your very life. What happens if Jesus would have said, hey, from the cross, he's yelling at all the people. So that anybody, of course, only John is the only one that showed up out of that group. But could you imagine if he said, I was deluded. I was wrong. God doesn't love me. He's not. He doesn't even exist. What happens if Jesus called that out from the cross? What happens if he made the statement, he's cruel, he's callous, he's all these things. I was sorry that I ever asked you to follow me because I was wrong and it's terrible. It was a great mistake. Do yourself a favor. Leave Jerusalem. Get out of Dodge because you do not want to have that. Is that what Jesus said from the cross? I thought it was, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I thought it was, John, here's my mother. Now she's your mother. I thought that's what he said he was going to do. And people ask me, well, how could a God be of love if he allows this stuff to take place in the world today? It happens in Christians' lives as well in the world's life. And it will continue to happen that very way. You know what I hear coming from the cross? I can still hear it ringing. It's coming down through the ages over and over. It's a voice. It's booming. Everywhere that I go, the unspeakable assurance with no doubt, none, anywhere at it. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Where's your heart? And have you given it to Christ? My friends, this is the Sunday after Easter. We got great hope. We have exciting things. We have everything that he promised. God is still on the throne. And we are his own. We just need to recognize that. And we need to be reminded of it. Isaac Watts, one of my favorite composers, he writes this, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth the successive journeys run. His kingdom, what about his kingdom? It spreads from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. You know, that's an old song. That's a real song. It's a song that we need. I don't know what you got in your life today. I don't. But I know this, Jesus loves you. I'm going to stand over here on this side of the resurrection. I'm going to stand the Sunday after Easter as much as I stood that Sunday at Easter. I'm going to be just as excited about what God has done then as he's doing today. And next Sunday I'm going to do the same. And the next Sunday I'm going to do the same. And the next Sunday I'm going to do the same. And you might get tired of it. I always say, you can fire me as your pastor. You'll never let me go as your maintenance man. Well, maybe Richard, you can take my place. People, this is the Sunday after Easter. This is a great Sunday. It should be a rejoicing Sunday. It should be the kind of Sunday that we are excited about. Because Jesus is risen, and he's living in us, and he's doing all that. The Holy Spirit is present right now. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We have some financial crunch. Oh, well, my God will provide. Yeah. How does he do that? Usually through people. But I know this, he'll do it. Yeah. We just need to live on the other side of Easter and believe him for what he's going to do, and I believe him for what he's going to do. That's my trust, my faith. I love you all. I don't put my faith in you. I do. I love you, but I don't put my faith in you. Oh, no, I can't do it. And you should never, ever put your faith in me in that same regard, because it's Christ is the only one. And we need to love him as he loves us. Right?
Yes.
Shake your head. It's a good thing. Okay.